Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. When our guest today was born back in 1970, men spent about 3 hours a week with their kids. Today, it goes without saying that those numbers have climbed sharply as big change has swept the country. In fact, today, dads spend more time with their kids than researchers have ever documented. All this is part of what author Jeremy Adam Smith calls the daddy shift, the gradual move away from a definition of fatherhood as pure breadwinner to one that's a combo of breadwinner and caregiver. Stay-at-home dads and the daddy shift is our topic today. And we want to hear from you stay-at-home dads out there. How well do you think you're accepted by society these days? Is there still much of a stigma? And was it difficult for you to give up your role as breadwinner for one that more emphasizes taking care of the kids? Our number here, 816-235-2888. Our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at @KCURUpToDate. Jeremy Adam Smith is author of The Daddy Shift, How Stay-at-Home Dads, Breadwinning Moms, and Shared Parenting Are Transforming the American Family. Jeremy, good morning. So nice to have you.
It's great to be here.
You there, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jeremy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
You tell a terrific story to open the daddy shift about your own relationship with your son. You wrote that your wife cared for him during his first year, and then in year two, you two shifted roles and you started staying home. How did Liko take to you at first after that switch happened, and how did that change over time?
Well, he cried a lot, is the short answer. He was a confirmed breast addict. Like a lot of babies his age, he needed the breast to, soothe himself and to relax. And he was very accustomed to his mother, and he was not accustomed to me taking care of him and lulling him to sleep and all of that stuff. And, we had, I would say, about 2 very rough months. And I've heard that not all stay-at-home dads have this experience. Sometimes the transition is very smooth, but it wasn't in our case. And he and I had to learn together how to do these things. And eventually we did. And as you say, I start the book with an anecdote about him finally, at long last, falling asleep in my arms and me being able to sit down and read a book while he napped, as opposed to constantly soothing him, which is, as many parents of new parents know, is completely maddening. Hmm. And that was, I think, now it's 9 years later. My son's an old man now, and I've just seen that pattern occur and recur. There's a learning curve, and the child keeps changing. They move up the developmental ladder, and you as the parent are constantly scrambling to follow them and constantly learning.
Hmm. How easily did you take to the role of caregiver after being the primary breadwinner as you did for a while? I mean, what did you struggle with? Because you write in here that at first you didn't mingle with other parents and you didn't consider yourself a stay-at-home dad. Why not?
Well, it wasn't a role that felt readily available to me at the time. I mean, it's funny to say now because, I've written some books and I've researched it and I appear on shows like this and I've spoken literally all over the world on the subject. But at the time, I didn't know anything. I just kind of stumbled into this role, and I didn't have any grand philosophies. I didn't, there was no sort of ideological motivation, nothing like that. I mean, it was just the practical decision that my family made, and I wasn't thinking of myself in any particular way. And my identity had not, in my mind's eye, I was still this childless, person in San Francisco who, went to bars every Friday and Saturday night and, was having a good time. Whereas my, in actuality, my life revolved around changing diapers and paying constant attention to this child's needs. And I just wasn't there yet, which I think is a very common experience for all parents, both men and women. There's just this little lag time. For men, it's a little different because, the role of stay-at-home dad is still, I think, a role very much in formation. It's not something we can sort of readily step into. It's still, I think, to this day, a kind of countercultural thing to do. And so a lot of men, I think, have to struggle extra hard to establish that identity as a caregiver.
Yeah. To what extent is it still in formation? Is it still countercultural, to use your words? I mean, a lot of folks will hear that and think, no, it's broadly accepted now. And of course, as you point out in the daddy shift in some quarters of society, it's still not. But to what extent is it still in formation?
Well, that's actually, I think, a really interesting question. And it's an interesting question because there are so many aspects of the family today that are in flux. You know, we can look at this one aspect, the role of fathers and stay-at-home dads and their identities, but there are so many other things that are in flux. I mean, breadwinning moms are a very important part of the equation. When I wrote the book, I thought it was only going to focus on the dads, but I gradually realized that, and I suppose this is kind of obvious, that, you know, the issues that the moms were struggling with, you know, the working mother is still an identity that's in formation. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all sorts of debates about that, as we saw with the cover story on The Atlantic with by Anne Marie Slaughter, which triggered a lot of debate, as we saw with the book Lean In. These are very active, raging debates. And, you know, and people, as a result of this, you know, have a range of very adamant opinions.
I was going to say, it's all very emotional, too, right?
It's all very emotional because it's about our relationship to our kids. And people are not entirely rational when it comes to that, which I'm not entirely rational when it comes to my own son. You know, there's a lot of insecurity. There's a lot of... you know, people are insecure about their own roles. They worry that they're not doing a good enough job, both moms and dads. It's a constant gnawing anxiety. And that is a byproduct of a historical moment. This is maybe a grandiose way of putting our personal problems, but it's a byproduct of a historical moment where these roles really are in flux.
Hmm.
And, you know, human beings need roles. We need to know where we stand in the community. We need to know what expectations to live up to. It's part of who we are as people. And when those things are changing, the result is nervousness, you know, a certain amount of anxiety.
We're visiting with Jeremy Adam Smith. He's author of The Daddy Shift, How Stay-at-Home Dads, Breadwinning Moms, and Shared Parenting Are Transforming the American Family. You know, Jeremy, as you become this sort of face to some extent of the stay-at-home dads out there, how much blowback do you get as you make your presentations around the country and you said even around the world? Mm-hmm. Do you get much blowback from folks who say, man, you are just out of line? Or do you hear that?
Well, I hear it online.
I
hear it on the internet. In my experience, it's exceedingly rare for somebody ever to say that to me in person. But you hear it a lot online. I mean, you know, there's something that social scientists call the online disinhibition effect.
You know, people, I know something about
and
that.
We in the media, exactly. We in the media know all about that. You can see it in the comments section of any website. You know, where people really sort of express, you know, what they're really thinking.
Yes. And as a talk show host, you hear it almost every day. I don't like don't like the way you pronounce that word, Mr. Kraske. Why did you do it that way?
Yeah, mispronunciation. I live in fear of that.
Yeah.
And also we see it in surveys. You know, I mean, we saw it in the recent Pew survey about breadwinning moms and stay-at-home dads, which found that about 40% of mothers are supporting families, mostly single moms, but also a lot of mothers supporting husbands and children. You know, and a lot of people disapprove of the idea of the father being the full-time caregiver.
That notion that your wife was the breadwinner for you for a while, how did you handle that part of it?
How did I personally handle that?
Yes, how you personally handled it, yeah.
Well, I welcomed it. I mean, you know, I felt I...
That's great.
Well, you know, I wanted a relationship with my child. It was important to me to, first of all, just be skillful and to be competent. I didn't want to be the bumbling dad. Mm-hmm. It was important to me to know just basic skills like changing a diaper and helping him to fall asleep by himself and all of those things. I wanted those things. And I think that that's marked my relationship with him, you know, throughout his life. Just that crucial period when he was a baby and a toddler. You know, I created opportunities to bond with him and to gain those skills. It was just very important to me.
That's such an interesting phrase you just used. You didn't want to be the bumbling parent. And boy, I can really relate to that, too. I didn't want to be a bumbling dad either. And I guess that by itself begins to play into and mark this seismic shift that you're describing in your book, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, in the book, I interviewed my grandfather and also my father. And I discovered later when I looked at the empirical research that the three of us came straight out of central casting generationally. You know, I asked my grandfather, what problems did you face as a dad? And he said, none. Your grandmother handled all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to work every day. And by the way, my grandfather worked hard. You know, he drove a crane in a quarry, same job for 40 years, up to 6 days a week, sometimes up to 12 hours a day, making very little money and supporting a family on that. And that was his job. And if he had not performed that duty... he would have been a bad father by the standards of the time. He would have been looked down upon by his family, by his community, and by himself, crucially. And, you know, so fulfilling that role is something essential that he did. My father told me I didn't want to be the absent dad, not the bumbling dad. You know, he didn't want to be absent the way his father had been. And my father was not absent. You know, my father was very much a presence in my life, very much tried to be involved with my brother and I. However, he and my mother never questioned for a moment that she was the primary caregiver and he was the breadwinner. They never questioned that arrangement. And I think that was very typical for baby boomers. Now, when my wife and I became parents, we never assumed that one of us was naturally the caregiver and one of us was naturally the breadwinner. We always assumed that those roles would be shared and negotiated over time. And indeed, that's exactly what has happened. And I think that's true for a lot of families our age.
And you think, you can't help but wonder, as I'm sitting here listening to you describe that, Jeremy, that when social scientists look back one day, that this seismic change generation after generation, after the last three generations, how profound all this will look someday, you think?
Oh, I think it'll look very profound. You know, I was talking to the historian Stephanie Kuntz, and she was saying that historically speaking, like if you look at, you know, the sweep of centuries, you know, even millennia, we have just gone through a very startlingly rapid period of family change. You know, women changed very dramatically just in a single generation. In terms of their economic behavior, in terms of the amount of wealth that they commanded, in terms of their political behavior, you know, just a very dramatic change. And men resisted. That's not a myth. You know, men resisted doing more at home. They resisted, you know, their new roles with children. They, as a group, you know, they often resisted the changing public role of women. But that's starting to shift, and it's been shifting for a while, and men have started to change very rapidly. You know, and Stephanie was telling me that, you know, if you look at the numbers, if you look at, you know, their attitudes towards work and family, if you look at the actual time that they spend with children, if you look at the time that they spend at work, men have started changing much more rapidly than women. You know, there's a huge shift going on. And the interesting thing about it is that this shift in behavior is not always matched by a shift in rhetoric. I mean, you still see people, you know, very entrenched in their ideas about what a man should do and how a man should behave and how what a woman should do and what a how a woman should behave. You know, there's a but that doesn't match, you know, what they're actually doing compared to previous generations.
You wonder how much longer it'll be before the rhetoric begins to catch up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the rhetoric is catching up. I mean, you know, stay-at-home dads are much more common now. And I think occupy a much more comfortable public space than they did when I was taking care of my son. You know, I think that we've just seen so much discussion over the past couple of years about what it means. And I should say that, you know, the stay-at-home dads are still relatively small in number. You know, the pattern for men is very different. You know, that the important number is the one you mentioned at the beginning of the show. Men are spending about triple the time with kids than they were in 1965.
Wow.
So that's the important number. You see all kinds of different fathers, working fathers, part-time working fathers, stay-at-home dads. They're just spending more time with their kids in general. So stay-at-home dads are just the tip of the iceberg.
Let me get our stay-at-home dads involved in our conversation here. We want to hear from you out there. How well do you think you're accepted by society these days? Is there still much of a stigma, at least in your view, and was it difficult for you to give up your role as the primary breadwinner for one that more emphasizes taking care of the kids? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. You can also tweet us @KCUR Up to Date. Our guest again, Jeremy Adam Smith, author of The Daddy Shift, How Stay-at-Home Dads, Breadwinning Moms, and Shared Parenting Are Transforming the American Family. Do you think men and women, Jeremy, still see taking care of the family as meaning different things or not?
Well, I think that's definitely the case. I mean, and the research shows, as well as a lot of anecdotal evidence, that fathers do take care of kids differently than do mothers. And I think there's a learning curve here. That Pew research study that I mentioned earlier also found that even when the mother works full time, if you compare full time working mothers and full time working fathers, you know, moms still end up doing a lot of housework and childcare. And moms, you know, oftentimes take responsibility for sort of big things like the health care or, you know, the child's relationship to school. And, you know, and a lot of fathers, you know, take on and a lot of moms want those. A lot of working moms want those responsibilities. Mm-hmm. It's important to say.
That's the way it is in my family. Know, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. They'll fight for it because they want to feel in control. They want to feel in control of those things. They want to feel like good moms, even when they're working full time. A lot of fathers don't have that pressure for better and for worse. And sometimes this can become a real source of conflict in families. It's not true that dads, you know, universally are slackers who are happy to let the moms handle these things. Sometimes dads can become very insecure if they feel like the mom is owning the child's relationship to school or is owning the child's relationship to healthcare. And, you know, you also have to keep in mind, this is something people rarely talk about, but I think it's very true. You know, if you're a dad and you go into a pediatrician's office with the mom, the pediatrician will often talk directly to the mother and sort of relegate the dad to the side.
That's
also true in a lot of parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of involved fathers have. It's not the end of the world. There are worse things. Mm-hmm. You know, I always caution people about whining. but you know, it's a fact. And I think that, you know, and this is actually an example of that sort of gap between the reality of fathers being present in parent-teacher conferences, being present in the doctor's office, and, you know, still feeling somewhat marginalized. You know, and I always tell dads, the solution is to have a smile on your face and an open attitude and to ask questions and to get into it and not waste time with resentment or, you know, or feeling shy about it or anything like that. You know, just jump into the game and be your best self. And I think gradually we'll see a change if we can do that.
You know, you mentioned a minute ago, I was interested in this, that you point out that fathers, the surveys show, do take care of their kids differently than moms do. How so?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because this line of research confirms a lot of gender stereotypes, I should just say at the outset. You know, fathers will tend to roughhouse with their kids a little more. They'll give the kids a lot more independence. They'll allow a lot more risk-taking.
There you go.
There's also more subtle developmental things. Like moms will tend to, with young children, will get down on the floor and do a lot of play that involves mimicking facial expressions, echoing back their voices, stuff like that is essential developmentally. And it used to be assumed by researchers and I think also by the general public that that was the gold standard. The maternal standard was the gold standard. That's how you take care of kids. However, as fathers have gotten more involved and researchers have looked at what fathers do and the impact of what they do on children over the long run, they find that these paternal behaviors, these paternal standards are often just as important developmentally. The real key is that children need diversity. You know, they need different caregivers. It's very important developmentally to see that children, for children to see that people are different.
Yeah.
I mean, this
yeah.
sounds very Mickey Mouse, but it's true. You know, and it's bad for kids, actually, if the father is too absent or if there's too much burden on the mother. And I should add, it's not just bad for kids. It's also bad for the parent. You know, it's bad for women who are overly burdened. And for fathers who are overly burdened with caring for a child, you know, that if they're too socially isolated, that leads to many bad psychological outcomes. It leads to depression. It leads to a lot of anxiety. It's very important, you know, that you have help from your spouse, from a community, from your extended family, if you have one. You know, those things are just so important. It's good for the kid. It's good for the caregiver. And also it's good, I mean, even if you're a full-time breadwinner and responsible for supporting your family, it's good for you as a man or a woman, to be as involved as you can in the life of your child, you know, be for so many reasons. I mean, you know, you learn empathy, you learn patience. It gives your life greater meaning. You know, and fathers who are too burdened by breadwinning or who, you know, just have the wrong attitude about fatherhood, I think are just robbing themselves. They're robbing themselves of something so important.
We're talking about stay-at-home dads. Our guest is author Jeremy Adam Smith. Our phone number, 816-235-2888, and our email address, update@kcur.org. Let's go to some calls here for Jeremy. Jeff from Kansas City, Missouri, you're on UpToDate. Jeff, good morning.
Hey, guys, great conversation. I just, you know, I don't know where to start because I missed the last 10 minutes. Got a screaming baby here, but you know, I'm not sure my situation's much different than most guys who stay home. You know, have my own business, and my wife works. So I essentially take care of my son from about 7 in the morning to 5:30.
Wow.
And, you know, if that's not enough, you know, I'm expected to have the house clean, laundry done, dinner on the table.
She's a tyrant,
almost,
huh?
Opposite of how I grew up. You know,
how's that been for you, Jeff, sort of going through that role reversal compared to what your own upbringing gave you?
Well, what's different about it?
How did you adjust? How tough of an adjustment was it for you to go through that kind of switcheroo?
You know, to me, it feels pretty natural, you know, in a way. Because he's so young, for one. But I think I've had a lot of time to think about, like, you know, what I would do with my own son if I had the chance. And I'll tell you what, my dad wasn't there a lot because he worked all over the country. But one thing he always told me is be your own boss, start your own business. And that's what I did. So, you know, it's kind of he kind of told me what he wished he could have done, and I'm doing it. But it isn't easy. You know, you talked about the anxiety, you know, that it brings up between, you know, husband and wife. And, you know, we're definitely going through that. But, you know, it's for the best.
Hey, how do you juggle your business? How do you find time to do that, Jeff?
Once he goes to bed, stay up till midnight.
Yeah, okay.
1 in the morning every night. And,
yeah.
Because during the day, you know, right now he wants to get on the computer when I'm on the computer. He wants to do everything I want to do. So, I mean, it's suffering. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm glad I called in because September 1st, he's going to preschool. So my stay-at-home dad tenure might be up depending on how this works out. So, and then we'll see how it goes. Maybe mom will be home if I do well enough. So,
are you looking forward to that possibility, or are you sort of maybe not looking forward to it?
You know, it's a little 60-40. I think I'm looking forward to it. You know, essentially it's earning potential, you know, and I'm looking forward to that and spending more time really diving deep, you know, but I will miss my boy, but I think it's for the best, you know, not having him every day. So,
right. Jeff, I'm sure glad you called. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
You bet. Bye-bye. Tom from Lenexa. Tom, you're on Up to Date. Our guest, Jeremy Adam Smith. Good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody today?
Good, Tom.
Excellent. Well, I'm a father of two. I have a 6-year-old daughter and a almost to be 4-year-old son. And I've been doing this the entire time, and I've really enjoyed it. I haven't really come up against anybody that has any different ideas except for our grandparents, who don't fully understand it but completely support it because they see that the children are being raised in a way that they have values, they care for people, you know, and they're very genuinely sweet kids.
So your grandparents are the ones who are sort of the holdouts a little bit here then?
A little bit, because I don't think they completely understand it. You know, they're locked into a generation where men worked and women stayed at home. And that kind of work at home was not meant for men. You know, it's just not genetically, you know, right.
Yeah, yeah. Tom, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And I really enjoyed this show. Thank you so much.
I'm glad, Tom. Thanks very much.
Yes, thank you.
Bet.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's get one more call here before a break. Again, our phone number, if you can join our conversation, we want to hear from you stay-at-home dads out there, 816-235-2888. April from Kansas City, Missouri. April, you're on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. I was just calling. I love the topic that you are discussing today, and I'm passionate about dads, you know, being plugged in and being involved in their kids' lives. I have a 9-year-old boy and 11-year-old girl, and my husband is a teacher, so he gets to be home with them during the summer. And I just noticed when I saw you guys were talking about the control issue that moms sometimes have, I just noticed when I let that go and let my husband do his thing with my son and my daughter, there was a remarkable change in just their character. It got better. Their discipline was better. And they loved him so much. And it's just awesome to see that. For me to come home from work and see, you know, the relationship they have with their dad. And I read on this, too, before I, which helped me let go, but I read that statistics show that children whose dads are really plugged in with their kids, it cuts down on their, especially boys, cuts down on their, I don't want to say desire, but their, you know, kind of rebellious push to prove themselves with their peers. It really is. I just want to encourage all the moms out there just to let go and let your husbands be the dad that they were meant to be. It's just an awesome experience.
Well, that's neat advice, April. What do you think about that, Jeremy?
Well, that was amazing.
Yeah, it was. Just terrific.
You know, thanks a lot for coming on and saying that. Yeah, it's really good advice. You know, it's also important to say, just from the dad's side, you know, dads deal with this insecurity. You know, they worry that if they don't do what the mom's doing, that, you know, they're not doing a good job. And, you know, I like the phrase, I don't know, April said, you know, be the dad you want to be.
That's a great phrase.
Something along those lines.
Yes, wonderful. You know,
exactly. And it takes time. It takes time to figure out what kind of dad you are.
Right.
You know, like one crucial difference between me and my wife is my wife really would stay home with him. You know, and they would just hang out, and that was fine for them. I needed to go out. You know, the minute my wife went to work, my son and I were out in the city. We would go to playgrounds. We would go to cafes. We
San Francisco, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, in San Francisco. That's right.
What a great city to go out in.
That's absolutely true. You know, that's how I thought about it. It was very, for my son, it was a very urban babyhood. You know, but, you know, I went to Kansas. There's an entire chapter of my book devoted to Kansas City.
I was going to ask you. And Chen Guinyan, if I'm saying his name. Guyan, if I'm saying his name right. Nguyen.
Yeah,
okay.
Chen Nguyen.
I knew I'd. Chen Nguyen. I wasn't even in the ballpark. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of those Vietnamese names are very tough. Yeah, and, you know, and at the time, the Kansas City had a group called Kansas City Dads, which was one of the largest stay-at-home dad groups in the country.
Wow.
And, you know, and I spent a lot of time with their members interviewing them. And, you know, and it was true in Kansas City. It was true all over the country. You know, I found that to be the case. A lot of dads, you know, just couldn't stand being at home. You know, they just wanted to get up. They wanted to get out and do things.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that doesn't mean you're a worse parent because you won't, you know, stay at home like your wife does and engage with, you know, all these developmental games and stuff like that. You know, what you're doing is, if that's what you want to do, do it. If that's what makes you happier as a parent on a day-to-day basis, do it. You know, follow your bliss. You know, and your child will benefit. You have to have faith that that what you're doing is important to your child.
April,
I mean, I guess that sounds kind of funny in a way.
April, I'm sure glad you called. Thanks so much. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back here, we'll continue our good conversation here with Jeremy Adam Smith about stay-at-home dads. We'll talk about Chen Nguyen and his Jeremy's time in Kansas City. And later on this hour, Brian McTavish is back with your weekend to-do list. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. This hour we're talking about the Daddy Shift, stay-at-home dads with author Jeremy Adam Smith. He is the author of The Daddy Shift, How Stay-at-Home Dads, Breadwinning Moms, and Shared Parenting Are Transforming the American Family. I was wondering, Jeremy, as we were talking before, do other countries do it differently? Do they have a leg up on the U.S. when it comes to making this transition to more stay-at-home dads?
Well, internationally, policies are all over the map. However, the United States is an outlier in one sense in that we don't offer a lot of paid parental leave for either men or women.
Yeah.
New Jersey and California have some wage replacement when a child is born. The Family Medical Leave Act guarantees unpaid leave for certain groups of workers, for businesses with 50 or more employees, for example. But that doesn't cover everybody, and only about one out of every 10 dads has access to any sort of leave at all. So in that, and that's hugely different from other developed countries. I mean, you know, it's very, very commonplace for, you know, many of the countries of Europe as well as our neighbor Canada to offer a lot of time off to parents, you know, when a child is born, and also flex time. You know, after when the child is grown, you know, it becomes enormously important if you want to be an involved parent to be able to, you know, go to school functions to, you know, to respond if something goes wrong at school, to take sick days when the child is sick. You know, and we are way behind on that. And, you know, and if you look abroad, you know, especially at the Northern European countries, which have very generous policies, comparatively speaking, the net result is that a parent is more likely to stay at home with a child after he's born, of both genders, but also more likely to be back in the workforce. They actually have more flexibility in that regard. You know, in America, the way it's set up, you're either in or you're out. A lot of parents, you know, they feel a lot of pressure to either be one or the other, to either be all about their job or all about staying at home with their child. And that, to me, is a false dichotomy. That is not how we should be living. We should be living in a way that, you know, allows us to change over time and to evolve in response to the needs of our child and also to our career.
We want to know how you stay-at-home dads are managing these days. How well accepted are you by society, at least in your view? 816-235-2888 and our email address, update@kcur.org. Jeremy, when did the daddy shift begin out there, and why did it, you know, come about to begin with?
Well, that is a huge question that I deal with at length in my book.
Yes.
You know, it's important to say that for most of human history, fathers were actually very involved. And the reason for that is that most people worked in their homes, either on farms or in, you know, shops that were in some way attached to their homes, or they were doing something artisanal. That's most of human history. So there was a gender division of labor within that, but fathers were very involved, comparatively speaking. It wasn't until the Industrial Revolution came online that, you know, that fathers were really separated from their families and began to develop a very distinct role. Now, that began changing almost from the moment it happened. You know, reformers, you know, very earnest, very earnest, well-intentioned people were always pressuring fathers in the midst of the Industrial Revolution to be involved at home. Now, and, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that every decade of the 20th century, and this is true well into the 21st century, more and more women went to work. You know, and that includes, by the way, the 1950s. In the 1950s, a lot of women were getting educations. They were going to work. You know, we think of that as the time period when, you know, that's the Leave It to Beaver.
Leave It to Beaver,
right?
Taking the words out of my mouth.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, but people don't realize women were really going to school and going to work back then. And that's one of the factors that fed the feminist movement in the 1960s. You know, there were a lot of big changes afoot. And, you know, it was always the case that motherhood was evolving and that fatherhood was evolving on its own and also into response to the changes that were happening with motherhood. You know, and one of the big things going on here was a technological change. You know, work became much less muscle powered and much more about your brains. And there are some who would argue that women actually have an advantage in this domain. you know, and it's just not, it became no longer necessary that work should become a male domain. And also the economy became a lot less stable. You know, my grandfather had the same job for 40 years and he never changed jobs. I've changed jobs more times than I can count. And I think that that's generationally very typical.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, and when you're dealing with that much instability, to be resilient, you really need two incomes. And I think a lot of families feel that pressure now.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here. We're talking with Jeremy Adam Smith. He's author of The Daddy Shift, How Stay-at-Home Dads, Breadwinning Moms, and Shared Parenting Are Transforming the American Dream. Let's go to Ken from Kansas City, Missouri. Ken, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hello. Hey, Jeremy.
Hello.
I liked the discussion, and I just had a tidbit. In the 90s, I believe, there was a local hero, sports hero, who was similar in having children the same age I was, and we had young toddlers, and there was an article I read, he's very famous here, that he would rather face a 100-mile-an-hour fastball from Goose Gossage than get changed poopy diapers. I just thought that was the most absurd thing I'd ever heard in my life.
I think you're talking about George Brett, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like George, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, let's just promote this stereotypical, impossibilities. But anyways, that was all I had to say. I appreciate your comment.
I'm glad you called, Ken. Thank you. Jesse from Leavenworth. Jesse, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to express my admiration for anyone who would do that. I had five children, and the idea of staying at home and raising them exhausts me. That's a tough job, and I admire you for doing it.
Well, Jesse, I'm glad you called. And our one caller who said he does his business, after his son goes to bed, until midnight every night, that's real living, Jesse, absolutely. And Jeremy, I think you can probably relate to some of this, too, in your own life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important to say that Jeff is pretty typical. He was the dad who was being the primary caregiver for his child, but also had a business that he was trying to operate. A lot of so-called stay-at-home dads do that. And it's important to say that the census does not count them. If they are starting their own business, if they're doing any work at all, they're not part of that census count. And fathers oftentimes don't follow the same pattern as mothers. Like, they will try to keep a hand in the workforce. They'll try to start a business. They'll sort of try to stay in the game a little bit, even as they are primary caregivers to their children.
I'm was wondering a little bit too about you have said that it's time for 21st century dads to go on the offensive. What do you mean by that?
I mean that we need to stop feeling insecure about ourselves. And start to really articulate a sort of positive ideal of this new fatherhood, to say that it's right to try to stay home with your kid if you can do it, to say that it's right to be competent when it comes to a lot of basic parenting skills, to say that it's right to have a more egalitarian relationship with your partner, to communicate with them, to negotiate with them, as opposed to the more hierarchical relationship that my grandfather had with his wife. These are positive ideals that we should be trying to live up to, because they're more adapted to the 21st century. They're more adapted to our reality. And if we can model these values and these behaviors for our kids, we're going to help them to thrive in the 21st century.
Let's go to Scott from Parkville. Scott, you're on the show. Scott, good morning.
Hi. Really appreciate the topic. I was a stay-home dad for about 8 years, from 98 to about 2006, to my three kids. They were 1, 8, and 11 at the time. I had previously been a computer systems analyst, and our company started going through some difficult financial times, and although I probably was going to get laid off, I went home one weekend and sat down and looked at it and figured out that even though I was getting paid a pretty good salary, we just weren't getting any of it with taxes and child care costs. So as soon as I saw that that was going to be financially possible, I jumped for it, and it was the best decision that I ever made.
Oh, that's great. What was so good about it, Scott?
You talk about being torn to try to give all towards your kids and all towards your job. I love being able to just focus on the kids, focus on the household chores, the laundry, the running errands, going to the grocery store, cooking, all that stuff that I was doing most of anyway, actually. But I also then had to squeeze that in on nights and weekends. Yeah. I love being able to go to Walmart at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday when there wasn't 5,000 people
there.
That's great. So we got our weekends back, we got our evenings back, and we could spend it rather than doing that maintenance of the household. We could spend it doing things together as a family.
Yeah, Scott, I really appreciate that good call. And we're out of time for this segment. Jeremy Adam Smith is author of The Daddy Shift. He's also editor and producer of the Greater Good Science Center at the University of California, Berkeley. You can learn a whole lot more about him on his website, jeremyadamsmith.com. And Jeremy, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for taking some time with us today.
Thank you so much.